The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This episode is brought to you by my friend Rebecca Walser, a financial expert who can help you protect your wealth. Book your free call with her team by going to friendofdinesh.com. That's friendofdinesh.com. Today in the podcast, I'm going to focus on a single issue, the FBI raid on Trump's residence at Mar-a-Lago. I'm going to talk about the significance of it, this unprecedented event. How do we go forward? What should the Republicans do? Christina Bobb, Trump's lawyer, is going to join me. She was there, so she'll tell us what happened, what she saw, and possibly what's in the warrant. And then Debbie and I will also discuss the implications. This is the Dinesh D'Souza Show.
America needs this voice. The times are crazy. In a time of confusion, division, and lies, we need a brave voice of reason, understanding, and truth. This is the Dinesh D'Souza Podcast.
I have a great deal to say about what happened at Mar-a-Lago, the FBI raid. But I'm going to hold that back a little bit because I've got the wonderful opportunity to talk to somebody who was right on the scene. Christina Bobb is an attorney for President Trump at Save America. She started her legal career at the U.S. Marine Corps. She was deployed to Afghanistan. She's defended Marines in court-martials. And she has a specialization in national security law from Georgetown Law Center in Washington, D.C. Christina, what a crazy business we're in, something that I haven't seen in my adult lifetime. I'm not even sure if it's happened in American history. We have the DOJ of an existing administration raiding the residence of not only the man that Biden ran against in 2020, but very likely or quite possibly the man he might run against in 2024. Now, you were there. Let's start by talking a little bit about, I want to walk through this a little bit slowly, but let's start with Mar-a-Lago. Mar-a-Lago is not merely a kind of club that people can belong to and they can come and play golf, but President Trump lives there, doesn't he?
Yeah, it's his personal residence. And I mean, it's his home. It's where he lives and it's where he spends most of his time. You know, this time of year, he's up north in New Jersey, but Mar-a-Lago is very much President Trump's personal residence.
We were, of course, at Mar-a-Lago for the premiere of 2000 Mules, and it was, it's a lovely place. Trump now is not at Mar-a-Lago. He's in New Jersey. And so this raid evidently occurred in his absence. Talk about it now from your point of view. Were you on the scene? How did you hear about it? Give us sort of the blow by blow.
Yeah, I responded because I'm one of President Trump's attorneys that lives in the area. I live not too far from Mar-a-Lago, and I got a call that said, hey, you need to get down there. The FBI is on site, and we need a presence there. So I went down. So I arrived after the FBI was already there and, you know, tried to get a copy of the search warrant. They wouldn't give it to me initially, and they said they didn't even have to show it to me. I fought with them for a little while about that and said, you mean to tell me that you want to roll up at the President of the United States personal residence and you want me to take your word for it that you actually have a warrant? So they eventually showed it to me, and then they gave me a copy of it after everything was over. So the whole thing was relatively uneventful as far as, like, you know, there was not a whole lot you can do when you have a large number of FBI agents rummaging through the president's personal residence and his office and in the area, you know, that he lives in Mar-a-Lago. So it was kind of what you would expect out of a scene of a movie. They didn't allow me to observe what they were doing. So I was kept, you know, way away. I couldn't see what was happening. You know, I've heard reports that there were crazy things about like staffers flushing things down the toilet. That didn't happen. First of all, there's no staff there anyway because the club is closed at the moment. But we weren't allowed there. So I was kept pretty close to basically the parking lot, waiting for them to come out and talk with them, you know, once in a while, intermittently. So, it was just kind of a crazy, hectic, really sad, disappointing day.
Christina, you said that there were a lot of agents. How many agents came to the property approximately?
So I asked for a number, and they wouldn't give me specifics about who was there or, you know, the number from what agencies they were all from. I assumed most were from the FBI and maybe a few DOJ. But I would guess, just from what I could see, maybe 24. There may have been more that I couldn't see because, like I said, I got there late. But there were probably about 24 agents, and they just dispersed on the property.
Let's take a pause. When we come back, more from Christina Bob, President Trump's attorney. We'll be right back. Aren't you sick of all these retailers canceling Mike Lindell at MyPillow? I mean, this is just getting downright ridiculous, letting the left bully them into submission. Well, Mike fires back. He's always coming out with new products. We got to support this guy. I'm excited to announce the new MyPillow sandals. Now, summer is here. We need some waterproof sandals to go to the beach, the pool, wherever. And these sandals aren't just practical. They're also super comfortable. Debbie and I are excited to wear them on the beach next, well, this coming weekend for our little getaway. The regular price of these sandals is $79.98. They're discounted now even more to the low price of $29.98 with promo code Dinesh. So it's time to go get them. Call 800-876-0227. That's 800-876-0227 or go to mypillow.com. Don't forget to use promo code D-I-N-E-S-H Dinesh. I'm back with Donald Trump's attorney, Christina Bob. We're talking about the FBI raid on Mar-a-Lago. Christina, do you happen to, first of all, how long did this process last? Was it did it last an hour, a couple of hours? Were they there all day? How long was the FBI on site?
Yeah, they were there all day. I mean, I believe they showed up around 9. Like I said, they got there before I did, so I don't know their exact arrival time, but it wrapped up probably 7 or 8. I think by the time the news broke, it was pretty much over, but it had taken, I would say, maybe 10 hours.
And you, when you spoke to these guys, did you ask them or did they tell you particularly what they're looking for? Or do they just eventually hand you the document and kind of go about their business as if you didn't really have any need to know?
Yeah, it was the latter. They pretty much just handed me the warrant when they were done. And, you know, it has the attachment for what they're looking for. And, you know, as the media has been reporting that, which is accurate, that they're looking for presidential records or any possibly classified material. I don't believe that there was anything classified in there, but I'm sure that the FBI will say that there is. But I'll be curious to see exactly what they're going to say, if anything. I found it particularly interesting that they were looking for presidential records because not that long ago, Judicial Watch sued trying to get access to presidential records for Bill Clinton, and Judicial Watch actually lost the case because the court said it's up to the president to decide what a presidential record is. And apparently that's been true for the first 44 presidents. But for Donald Trump, I guess the FBI is the one that gets to decide what a presidential record is, and they, you know, seized whatever they wanted to seize. So I don't think there was anything of significance that they took, but I find it kind of ironic that every other president gets to decide for themselves what a presidential record is, except for Donald Trump.
I mean, isn't it also true, Christina? I mean, I've heard this many times before. I'm not a lawyer, but the fact that the president also gets to decide if he wants to declassify something. In other words, the classification is determined not by the archives or not by some third party, but the president himself has discretion in that area.
You're exactly right, which just goes to show how asinine this entire thing is. There is no crime. There is no crime committed. And the fact that they're trying to use what they're trying to use with the national security code is they want to do that so that they can hide what they're doing because they want to be able to say, oh, it's classified. We can't reveal it to the public. We can't tell the public what we're doing. And they want to cloak their crazy, you know, their crazy authoritarian actions behind this veil of national security. But you're exactly right. President Trump decides what's classified and what's not classified. And he gets to decide what is a presidential record and what is not a presidential record. So this whole thing is all for nothing. It's all for show. And they want to try to convince America that President Trump has committed a crime where there is nothing. There is no crime.
Christina, I think I saw one of the members of the Trump family, I don't know if it was Eric Trump, who said that they even broke into the safe. Now, this strikes me as symbolically important. I mean, breaking into the safe. But he also said there was nothing in the safe. Have you seen that? Have you heard it? Can you confirm whether it's true?
Yeah, I heard it. They didn't let me in where they were looking, so I can't say that I saw it because I wasn't allowed to be a part of what they were doing. But yes, that I would think that that's probably true.
Now, you made a very interesting point, which is you said that there's nothing there. And if there's nothing there, the question for me is, why would they go to all this trouble, right? Now, one of the things that I'm hearing a lot in the comment about this is the fact that, man, you know, it's very serious and Trump's going to have to worry about this. But it occurred to me that the opposite is not only just as likely, but could be more likely, which is to say, think of it, the Democrats are desperate to get Trump, right? Let's even go further and say they lost the 2016 election. They know they lost the 2020 election. Who's going to be the scariest guy in 2024? So we know what their motive is. They don't have anything on him. So why not go fishing at Mar-a-Lago? What do you think of that theory?
I think you're exactly right. I think the Department of Justice and the Biden Department of Justice is politicizing the DOJ and the FBI because they are terrified of what Donald Trump represents, because they know they're going to lose power. They don't have the support of the American people. They can't win legitimately. So the only way they can win is to force it, whether it's through getting rid of their political opponents, cheating in elections, whatever it is. They are doing everything they can to keep a stranglehold on power.
Let's take a pause. We'll be right back with Christina Bob. Are you looking for a movie that celebrates the gift of life? Well, get ready for Life Mark. This is the new movie from the Kendrick brothers and our friend Kirk Cameron, opening in theaters everywhere September 9th. In Life Mark, David's comfortable world is turned upside down when his birth mother unexpectedly reaches out to him, longing to meet the 18-year-old son she's only held once. With the encouragement of his adopted parents, David embarks on a life-altering journey of discovery that leads to a staggering truth from his past. Inspired by a true story, Life Mark is a powerful reminder that one decision, one choice, can impact so much more than one life. Life Mark is pro-family, pro-love, pro-forgiveness, pro-reconciliation, and pro-new beginnings. So if you are too, make your plans to see Life Mark. See Life Mark in theaters nationwide beginning September 9th. Learn more about Life Mark and get your tickets today at lifemarkmovie.com. Lifemarkmovie.com. I'm back with Trump attorney Christina Bob. We're talking about the FBI raid, the motives for it, the implications of it. Christina, I know as a lawyer, you can't go into the details of the warrant, but what can you tell us? Because initially it seemed like the raid was motivated by sort of January 6th committee, attempts to find out any links between Trump and what happened on January 6th. Now I'm hearing that it's not about that at all. In fact, I'm hearing it's about sort of the National Records Act. It seems downright preposterous. I mean, as if what, to get the archives straight, they have to raid the home of the former president. What can you tell us about the warrant and what you know about, well, let's not call it the reason, but at least the pretext for the raid?
Yeah. No, you're exactly right. It is as preposterous as you think it is. It is all about NARA and the Records Preservation Act. As far as I can tell, it has nothing to do with January 6th. They say that they were looking for presidential records. As we mentioned, it's the president who gets to decide what a presidential record is. And potential crimes of, you know, releasing classified information or something to that effect. That was what they were looking for. So they have basically turned the FBI into overzealous librarians is what this is all about. It's all about supposedly, you know, you've got Hunter Biden with his laptop and disclosing foreign ties and kickbacks from foreign countries. And they're after Donald Trump because he kept a handwritten note from a prime minister that they think belongs at the archives. I mean, it is as preposterous as you think it is.
I mean, if you look at the wording of this National Records Act, it has the usual boilerplate about records will be preserved, they won't be altered, they won't be destroyed. But, I mean, no one's ever heard of, presumably, I mean, didn't the Clintons take a whole bunch of stuff out of the White House when they left? I mean, they didn't just take records. They took, like, furniture, curios, paintings, things like that. And there was apparently some negotiation about some of it that ended up going back. But it was all handled with extreme discretion. Yeah. There was certainly no FBI raiding the Clinton residence. I mean, the sheer brazen politicization of this seems just downright obvious. Aren't the American people going to see right through it?
I sure hope so. And I'm so grateful for you using your platform to point out the obvious. This clearly isn't about, you know, preservation of White House furniture. And anybody who thinks that Donald Trump would take furniture from the White House obviously has not been to Mar-a-Lago or Bedminster. I mean, what he has already is much, much nicer than what you would find in the White House. So there's nothing there. This was all about documents and, you know, whether they think there's something classified. And to your point, it's preposterous that they would use this to execute a search warrant on the former president of the United States, likely to be the nominee going forward. It is 100% political because there was absolutely no reason for this. There was absolutely no reason for them to execute a search warrant when they had free access anyway, when they asked for it. So I don't know if this is a media thing, if they just want to, you know, scare the public and create a buzz that there was something going down at Mar-a-Lago, you know, try and make President Trump guilty by association because the FBI was there, or if they think that they actually have something. I think they're wrong on both accounts. I think the American public is looking at this going, what are you doing? You've gone way too far.
Well, I mean, let's also remember this is all against the background of, you know, dubious FISA warrants, a Steele dossier that was used by the FBI and by the deep state to go after Trump for 4 years. You know, deep state officials coming out and saying that there was nothing to the Hunter Biden laptop. It was Russia disinformation. So there's a background already of mistrust and distrust. It seems to me that you know, for a party that's in power, this is a desperation move and a very risky move, because when you have all that, on the one hand you might be able to smear Trump, but on the other hand, it could much easily cut the other way. It could unify the Republicans. It could convince independents. And this is just, you know, they might have thought Trump's tweets are too much, but this is too much on a whole different level. And so the politics of this seem to me to be very risky for the Democrats.
Yes, you're exactly right. And they can't get, but their Trump derangement syndrome is so strong that they can't see the obvious. You know, yeah, we lied to you about Russia, Russia, Russia. Sorry, but you should believe us this time. Yeah, we lied to you about Ukraine. Yeah, we lied to you about January 6th. Yeah, we lied to you about, you know, a myriad of other things, about unmasking all of the folks right at the beginning of the administration. Yeah, we've lied to you a whole bunch, but you should believe us about this one. I mean, I don't think anybody's falling for it. And the only people that are excited about it are the people who don't want Donald Trump back in office, because apparently they like the way things are going in this country.
Very scary stuff. Christina Bob, thank you so much for joining me. Very sobering and eye-opening account. And thanks again.
Thank you.
Tired of seeing your hard-earned money disappear as inflation skyrockets? Well, we're all tightening our belts, but many of America's seniors are struggling to survive on fixed incomes. Well, it's not time to panic, but it is time to act. AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens, can and will save you money. 2.3 million freedom-loving Americans have already joined AMAC, and you should too. Membership comes with amazing benefits, discounts on travel, restaurants, cell phone service, plus great news. Anyone can join. And AMAC does a lot more than offer senior discounts. AMAC Action takes the challenges against our Constitution and the free market straight to Capitol Hill every day. Joining is easy. Go to amac.us/Dinesh. AMAC Fights for America. Become a member today like Debbie and I have. Save money while supporting conservative causes. Go to amac.us/Dinesh now. It's only $16 a year. So join or renew today at amac.us/Dinesh. Debbie and I are here to ponder the significance of the raid on Mar-a-Lago or react to some of the things that Christina Bob said. I think what struck me about this was the sheer preposterousness of this raid. In other words, the flimsy pretext, the National Records and Archives Act, really. There are classified documents at the residence. Why don't you just put in a request for them, get them, go look at them. Trump would cooperate. The idea of the raid seems to me theatrical. It's to create an odor of criminality and part of their larger enterprise.
The same thing that they did with the commission, with the January 6th committee, right? Same thing. They're trying to make his image a little bit, you know,
muddied.
Yes. And so they are trying to create a Donald Trump that isn't really a Donald Trump.
But why go down this flimsy road? This because on January 6th they're trying to show something big, right? There's an attempt to overthrow the mm-hmm, government. Mm-hmm. Trump was behind this. Mm-hmm. Staffers were communicating back and forth. There's conspiracies afoot. So that's their big theory, right? Then to come around and say, well, we have another theory, mm-hmm. which is that there are these classified documents that belong in the archives.
No,
Trump
took
them.
Because it's not about the theory. They're looking for something to get Trump on. And so they're trying to get from wherever they can to be able to do that. But you know what? As I told you yesterday, this to me is very reminiscent of what they do in Venezuela. It's almost exactly, right? So basically, you know,
in other words, identify the man, the target.
Absolutely.
Then go looking for the crime.
Exactly right. Exactly right. So, but, you know, and you're like, but don't the Democrats know that this kind of behavior is going to reflect poorly on the Democrats at the, you know, when it counts, when people vote? But I told you that in a regime that knows exactly that they're going to win no matter what, they don't care. Optics don't matter.
Because they've got
the system rigged. And they know that no matter what they do, when they do it, they know the outcome. They know what the outcome's going to be. And that is the only thing that can explain this. Because any rational person would say, in America, you win an election based on what your party does or doesn't do, right? You know, the economy, whatever. But they don't care about the economy any more than they care about how this looks.
Yeah, so let me restate what you're saying, because it's really disturbing. What you're really saying is this, that sure, their poll ratings are, you know, in the tank because of gas prices and inflation. Sure, nobody likes Biden. They don't even think he's all there. So the American people are very dissatisfied with this government. And under normal politics, they would be trying really hard to address those issues, to mend the way people see Biden. And also, they might want to go after Trump, but they're not going to go after Trump with transparent pretexts because you can see through them. But you're saying if they have a regime where they feel like, you know what, we've got everything locked down, we've got the culture in our back pocket, we've got the media, we've got the judges, we think we can get a conviction in D.C. no matter what, and quite frankly, we've got the election system figured out. Whether it's the mules or some other thing, we don't really have to worry about any of that.
Yeah. I mean, that is what it looks like to me. Because, again, you know, it's really funny. Yesterday, and this is early on before this raid even happened, a friend of mine on Twitter actually posted a video of the GNB, which is the National Guard in Venezuela. It was their 85th anniversary of having been created. And as you know, the National Guard in Venezuela is basically the machine that goes after citizens, goes after political opponents, whatever. And, you know, and so they were beating this guy up, and all this person was doing was basically, you know, just being a patriot, right? And they were beating him up. They were hitting him, you know, with their sticks and whatever else. And I said, the equivalent of this, you may look no further than the FBI. I said this way before the raid, because, well, one of the things that really got to me yesterday was the interview that you had with the mother of one of the January 6th defendants and wife of one of them, and how she said the FBI went in there just with their full regalia, just, you know, taking people
AR-15, battering the door down.
You know, all of that for a misdemeanor. Who does that, right? Well, the GMB does that. And so it's one thing to go after your political opponents. It's a whole other ball game to go over your political opponent.
This is the fear of Trump, which we'll pick this up in the next segment, and we'll be right back. Inflation is real. The consumer price index is at another 40-year high. Now, Biden and his team keep denying it, but inflation doesn't go away because you deny or minimize it. The recession, too, is real. Again, they're trying to deny it. And again, a recession doesn't stop being a recession if you stop calling it that. Now, if all your money is in the market or tied to the U.S. dollar, you're taking a risk. You're messing with fire. Now, thankfully, I'm diversified into gold with Birch Gold. It's not too late for you to take action, too. Text Dinesh to 989898. Get a free information kit on how to diversify and protect your savings with precious metals. Now, with an A-plus rating, with the Better Business Bureau, countless five-star reviews, thousands of satisfied customers, Birch Gold is the place to be. Debbie and I trust Birch Gold. That's why we're happy customers. Join us and secure your future with gold from Birch Gold. The way to do this, to claim your free no-obligation information kit on how to protect your hard-earned savings with gold, text Dinesh to 989898. Debbie and I are discussing the raid on Mar-a-Lago and the significance of it. You know, in my monologue yesterday, knowing nothing about all this, I talked about what is it that what terrifies them about Trump. And I made the point that Trump has this animal magnetism that not only no other Republican contender, but no Democrat has. DeSantis, for all his kind of punctilious efficiency, he's better than Trump at certain things. But if DeSantis walks into a room, it's just another guy entering the room. You know, of course, from your experience with Reagan when you were a teenager, when Reagan entered the room, every head turns.
Oh, yes.
When Trump enters the room, every head turns. Yes. Trump is not the same as Reagan, but they both have that kind of quality that is very rare. And Biden doesn't have it. Kamala Harris doesn't have it. Gavin Newsom doesn't have it.
Certainly
little, you know, Buttigieg doesn't have it. None of them have it. And they kind of know it.
Right.
So my point being here that Trump is the terror that they have to sort of deal with. And I think they're willing to go to all costs.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that?
I agree. I mean, I think that they know that they don't have another Obama.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so...
Or even a Bill Clinton.
And so they are willing... And you know, Trump scares them in a way that no other Republican has ever scared them. And so I think it's really a matter of stopping him at all costs.
I mean, Trump, in a sense, even beat Obama, right? Now, obviously, Obama wasn't running in 16, but it was Obama's legacy that was on the ballot.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Trump beat them, an election that they were so confident that they were going to win, they didn't think there was any way they could lose it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it sent an unbelievable shockwave through the left and through the Democratic Party.
Well, they've been trying ever since to get rid of it. They were trying to get rid of Trump before Trump even became president.
Yeah.
So why does it shock us so much that they have gone for, what, 7 years of this nonsense, you know, of trying to get him at just for any little thing, even going as far as making up something? Because, as you know, the first impeachment of Trump was over nothing, right?
Well, so was the second.
And the second one. So I just think that they don't want him to run again. They're willing to do just about anything to make that not happen. And so, I mean, they're throwing the kitchen sink at everything.
I mean, which raises an interesting question, which is, Trump, I think, is going to run again, and he's probably kind of weighing when it is that he should declare.
Yeah.
I wonder if he should declare now.
I think it would be a mistake to declare now. I think it would be a mistake to declare before the midterms. I think he needs to wait till after the midterms because he needs to ride that wave, because I do think that this is only going to empower us. And you know what? They can cheat all they want, but I think when patriots, especially those people that voted for Biden, that now know, you know what? I think we have a little bit of buyer's remorse.
I mean, it's one thing to say, listen, you know, Trump is mean-spirited and he lashes out at the media. I mean, the Democrats are basically putting us into a national emergency where I think people have got to realize that this is not going to be the America you grew up in. I mean, it isn't already, but you're going to lose that forever if you don't move now.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of independents are going to be on board as well. I mean, think of how this is playing in the Hispanic community, for example. They're probably thinking, we've never seen anything so insane.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, unfortunately, the Hispanic community, especially where I grew up, there's still a large portion of it that is still asleep. Okay, Myra is trying to wake them up. Myra is trying to educate them about the values that they've been voting for all these years. It's going to take somebody like Myra to be able to help do that. But I do think, in fact, my mother, you know, we talk in the morning, she was horrified by what happened to Trump. And I think most of her friends, some of them Democrat, were too, because this has never happened to a former president. You know, they've never treated a former president like this. And
this is a bit of a side note. We'll pick up our theme. But Debbie and I going kind of all in with Myra Flores on this because we think that that is symbolically one of the critical races in the entire midterms. And so you've been in communication with Myra. We're going to try to get investors and movies to help Myra. We're going to help Myra in all kinds of ways.
Yep. George Soros, by the way, has been like,
throwing money at
the Rio Grande Valley. They know that Myra is a threat, and so they are throwing money down there like nobody's business. I mean, they want to keep the valley blue. And
Monica de la Cruz is a threat. Cassie Garcia is a threat. Yeah. They're all a threat.
Yeah.
But Myra may be the biggest threat of them all. I'm not even sure if she realizes the totemic significance of what she's doing. Mm-hmm. Basically, we're breaking the back of the Democratic Party. Because if Hispanics, if Republicans can win 50% plus of the Hispanic vote, long term, it's very bad for the Democrats. They need the Hispanics to go the way of the blacks. In other words, they need heavy levels of dependency, broken down barrios, lack of opportunity, everybody depending on a welfare check, everyone looking to the Democrats, hey, please pay my mortgage, please get me food. If that doesn't happen, it's curtains for the Democrats. Some of us wish we could rewind the clock when it comes to our health. Exercising, climbing stairs, all the things young people take for granted, these aren't things that have to stop just because you age. Neither do you have to patiently endure and suffer the normal aging aches and pains. Now there's a 100% drug-free solution. It's called Relief Factor. Relief Factor supports your body's fight against inflammation. That's the source of aches and pains. I've listened to the testimonies of tons of people who take Relief Factor. They love it. They order more because it works for them. Debbie's excited. She finally gets to do her bar exercise class now that she's alleviated her frozen shoulder thanks to Relief Factor. Debbie's even able to do planks and push-ups. She's like, wow, I never want to be without Relief Factor again. You too can benefit. Try it for yourself. Order the 3-week quick start for the discounted price of only $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com or call 833-690-7246 to find out more. That number again, 833-690-7246, or go to relieffactor.com. Feel the difference. I want to talk in this segment about the reaction from the Republicans. Now, initially, very interestingly, there was almost like a silence. And I actually put out, I said, there's a deafening silence coming. And I actually tagged Majority Leader. I tagged Kevin McCarthy, the Republican leader in the House. I tagged Mitch McConnell, and I tagged Rona McDaniel. Now, as far as I've seen, McConnell is still silent. But Kevin McCarthy came out swinging shortly thereafter and basically said, you know, Christopher, I mean, he was talking about to Merrick Garland, basically, you know, get ready. He goes, mm-hmm. you're going to be coming before some hearings. You better keep your receipts. You better clear your calendar.
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, from Kevin McCarthy. And then, of course, Ronan McDaniel weighs in. Rubio's weighed in. Ted Cruz has mm-hmm. weighed in. So the mainstream of the Republican Party recognizes this is very bad. Mm-hmm. But that's a whole different thing. It's one thing to say, well, this is unacceptable. This is a typical type of rhetoric that you get. What I want to know is, what should Republicans do now? What should the Republican strategy or agenda be going forward? Because I'm a strong believer that when you run in a midterm, you run in a presidential election, you tell people, if you elect me, I'm going to do A, B, C, and D. And then if you're elected, you're like, look, I told the American people I have a mandate for these things because I told you in advance I was going to do them.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that hurt us big, I think, was when we won the election with Obama, when we won the midterms, and we said we're going to reverse Obamacare. Remember?
Yes.
And that never happened. So we can't do that again. If we say we're going to do something, we have to do it. So the American people understand, you know what? If we vote for this party, this is what we're going to get. And if we vote for this party, this is what we're going to get. I don't want people to say that the Republicans and the Democrats are the same. I'm sick of hearing that because they're not the same. If you listen, I you know, for many years, I came up with this presentation showing the parallels of the Venezuelan left and the American left. I did that for a reason. I wanted to show people that the Democrats are identical to the Chavistas in Venezuela, and that if we keep electing them, we are going to be identical to Venezuela. I still say that. I'm not backing off on that.
Yeah, I think people make a mistake. You know, they look at the Republicans, and of course, there's corruption in the Republican Party as there is in the Democratic Party.
Yes.
There's status quoism in the Republican Party as there is in the Democratic Party. There are Republicans who think as long as there's a federal trough, we can get to feed at it as well. Mm-hmm. So they're right about that.
Right.
But then they jump to the conclusion that the parties are indistinguishable. They'll say, oh, America's being governed by a uniparty. This is nonsense. This is not true. In fact, the only remedy, the only way to defeat the donkeys is with the elephants. There's no other way. There's
That's
no third path.
That's
and
right.
There's no third party.
And like
so
in
you
Venezuela,
have to rebuild the Republican
exactly.
Party.
And like in Venezuela, the conservative party, the center-right party, self-destructed. We cannot do that here, or we will never be rid of the Democrats. We will always have this type of inflation, stagflation, whatever you want to call it. And we will always have this kind of political persecution.
And prosecution
of our side, because that is what will be forever in America. And that is what you will, if you go to the polls and vote D, that is what you are going to get for the rest of your life.
I mean, the Republicans need to come out and be really clear and say, look, our job in the next 2 years is we will block everything.
Well, that's the only thing they can do.
No, right. But my point is we will block literally, I mean the word everything. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if Biden does something benign, we'll block that too.
Yeah.
The idea will be to thwart the Democrats at such a level that they will not be able to move on anything. Nothing will be approved. No nomination will go through. Every ambassador will be shut down. Every appointee will be shut down. And not to mention the fact that once we have the power, we are going to clean out the deep state. We're going
to
be firing people at a level that you've never seen before. We're going to reclassify federal employees and show them the pavement. We're going to raise the FBI to the ground. And by that I mean clean out the building. Everybody gets a pink slip. Fire everybody and start we obviously need a police agency. I'm not saying we don't, but we need a police agency that's not a Gestapo. We need a police agency that's not basically doing the bidding of one political party. We don't need a thug operation of the Democratic Party wearing badges with warrants from judges and compliant judges. So this to me, emphasizes the urgency of the situation.
Absolutely, and we have to wake the mainstream GOP up. Like this morning, I heard Rona talking about how, oh my goodness, if this could happen to Trump, it can happen to anybody. Well, guess what, Rona? It has happened to other people. It happened to all of the January 6th defendants that are in prison right now in solitary confinement. It happened to a lot of people already. It happened to my husband. So, you know what, Rona? Yes, this is horrific that it happened to a former president, but it has happened to a lot of just ordinary patriots in America.
Yeah, the Republican Party can be the party that was born yesterday.
Oh,
it's going on. Wait, what? They're actually going after their political opponents. Wake up. It's
yes,
time to
please,
wake up because the hour
up.
Is late.
Imagine the lifelong impact of a journey to the Holy Land. Surrounded by like-minded travelers, picture yourself stepping foot in iconic locations right out of Scripture. Join Dr. Sebastian Gorka and Dinesh D'Souza on this life-enriching Israel tour, November 30th through December 9th, 2022. For more information, call 855-565-5519 or visit standwithisraeltour.com.
We're now in book 18 of the Iliad, and this is a book that focuses on Achilles' reaction to the death of Patroclus. And his reaction is, well, in every way, extreme. Understandable, but nevertheless extreme. Achilles gets the news about the death of Patroclus from a messenger, a guy named Antilochus. And boy, you wouldn't want to be that messenger. Imagine delivering that news to Achilles. And Homer writes, quote, "A mist of black grief enveloped Achilles. He scooped up fistfuls of sunburnt dust and poured it on his head, fouling his beautiful face. And a little later, he was groaning from the depths of his soul." And what you see here is Achilles going through initially just a stage of grief. And shortly, the grief will be replaced with rage. And notice, by the way, that the Iliad begins with Achilles' rage. The first word of the Iliad is anger. So, but the anger then was less than it is now. The anger then was the anger at Agamemnon for taking away Achilles' concubine. That's why Achilles retreats from battle. But this rage is so strong that it will propel Achilles back into battle. Now, propel him back into battle for a completely different reason than his original reason for withdrawing. He originally withdrew because he goes, "I've been insulted. I've lost my my honor, my teammate. I've lost my glory, my kleos." But he's not going back into battle for any of those reasons. He doesn't care about teammate. He doesn't care about kleos. He's going back in battle for one simple reason: revenge. The motive of Achilles now is nothing more than to avenge his dead friend. And Achilles' mother, he calls out to his mother, the sea goddess. And she comes out of the sea, and she's accompanied by these other nymphs and sea goddesses. And they sit with Achilles, and they console him. Achilles actually rages at his mom. He basically says, "Life is not worth living now that my friend is dead." And he says, quote, "I killed him," which is kind of true because, after all, it was Achilles who agreed to let Patroclus wear his armor, use his shield. And let's remember, it's got to be that Achilles' shield was distinctive. If Achilles had a shield that was same as everybody else's shield, and nobody would know, it was Achilles. But the whole point is Patroclus went out there, and the Trojans thought it was Achilles returning to battle. Even Hector, when he advanced on Patroclus, thought he was Achilles. So Achilles is saying now, by allowing Patroclus to impersonate me, he has suffered death at the hands of Hector. And Achilles says to his mother, quote, "You should have stayed with the saltwater women," meaning the women who live in the sea, "and Peleus should have married a mortal." Another way of saying it is, "I wish I was never born. You two, my parents, should not even have got together." And his mother kind of cautions him and says, in tears, it says, Thetis replies to him, "I won't have you with me for long, my child, if you say such things. Hector's death means your own." In other words, yes, it is fated that you will return to battle and kill Hector, but it is also fated that you will die shortly thereafter. Now, as I mentioned before, Achilles' death is beyond the Iliad. We don't see it in the Iliad. But the audience of the Iliad knows the story. Paris will fire an arrow that will kill Achilles shortly after the events described in the Iliad. Now, Achilles replies in a very interesting way. He says, as for my own fate, I accept it whenever it pleases Zeus and the other immortal gods to send it. So Achilles is basically saying, if it is my fate to die after the death of Hector, I'm okay with that. Now notice that earlier in the Iliad, Thetis, his mom, had told Achilles that he has two possible fates. He can go home, don't fight, take his ships with him, live a long, presumably happy life, but uneventful and lacking any fame or glory. We wouldn't even know about Achilles. The Iliad wouldn't be written about him. He would just be an ordinary guy who went right back to his kingdom. So Achilles here, or the other option for Achilles, his mother tells him, is you fight, you win great glory, your name will be remembered, but your life will be short. And here we find Achilles actually making his choice, because to the degree that Achilles can choose which fate he wants, he's now deciding that because of the death of Patroclus, he is going to go into battle, avenge Patroclus' death, kill Hector in the full knowledge. Remember, for Hector doesn't have this kind of knowledge. Hector's knowledge is, you know what, Achilles is the greatest fighter in the Greeks. Maybe I'm not as good a man as Achilles, but in a fight, who knows what's going to happen? We're both going to be throwing rocks. We're both going to be using our swords and shields. Anything can happen. I might die, but he might also. But Achilles knows that he will, in fact, kill Hector. And he also knows that his death is, like, right around the corner. In fact, there's even a scene here where his mother, as part of consoling Achilles, kind of cradles him in her arms. And if you look at just the physical posture of Achilles, by the way, he is lying flat on the ground when his mother shows up. It's almost like Achilles is already dead. He's like a dead body in his mother's arms, and she's bewailing. She's bewailing the loss of Patroclus. She's consoling her son on that account. But in a strange way, she's also mourning the impending death of her own son, Achilles.
Subscribe to the Dinesh D'Souza podcast on Apple, Google, and Spotify. Or watch on Rumble, YouTube, and SalemNow.com.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.